Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. Apparently, nobody in the NBA is happy where they play. Anthony Davis wants out of the city where they hold Mardi Gras. Now, Kristaps Porzingis wants out of New York City. In fact, he gone to Dallas. Don't worry, Bulls fans. Somebody wants you. You could have Lonzo Ball and his buddy LeVar, too. The NBA for free-for-all has actually overshadowed Super Bowl week. Patriots versus Rams is 3 days away. Can the Pats continue to run all over the Rams? And is Jared Goff actually good enough to be a Super Bowl-winning quarterback? Plus, baseball season has been so slow that the Padres said, sure, what the hell, let's get involved. They're expected to meet with Bryce Harper either later today or tomorrow and still need to sit down with Manny Machado. Should White Sox fans now be worried? And welcome to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Hope you're staying warm and you're safe out there. I'm David Kaplan. Let's meet the panel for today's show. He is Chicago sports media legend. He is Fred Mitchell. He's got a brand new book coming out, by the way, on the Loyola Ramblers you should be looking for. From 670 The Score and The Tribune, he's our buddy. Don't call him Dave. His name is David Hall. And from 670 The Score Middays, he is our friend Connor McKnight. All right, let's talk about Kristaps Porzingis. He met with the Knicks and said, I really don't want to be here. And now he's not. Reportedly, the deal is contingent on a draft pick getting done from Dallas to New York, but it looks like Porzingis will be a Maverick, David Haw.
Yeah, you know, this trade came together very quickly. You heard a leak that he wanted to be traded, met with the team dissatisfied with the direction, and all of a sudden, that's the way it goes in the NBA. You make a demand, you're on the move. I don't know what the Knicks are doing. I mean, I know that they want to clear cap space for Kevin Durant. I know they want to get Kyrie Irving. I know they have grand plans and dreams, and maybe even draft Zion Williamson, so that could be a big three. Tremendous gamble, tremendous cave here. This is a guy that is a franchise player. You're giving him up because he is unhappy with the direction, and you're giving him up on a definite maybe. I know we're frustrated with the way things are going in Chicago, but imagine if you were following the Knicks for all these years.
It's a gutsy move by New York, and I kind of admire the guts of it. The problem is the fallout. Like, if you miss on Durant and Kyrie and your number one draft pick in Zion Williamson, then you're left with what, like Ja Morant and Tobias Harris, and you're right where you were, it feels like. Plus, it's they're in the situation they're in, more or less, because the free agency money that they've spread around all went sour on them. So that's why I think more than anything else, Kristaps wasn't happy there, then wanted to go, and now their options are just sending him to Dallas, which, by the way, I can't wait to watch Luka and Kristaps work together in Dallas.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun tandem.
I am all about it.
Yeah, you know, all these deals come together pretty quickly, right? And it makes you wonder how much tampering or under-the-table conversations are going on. It's a trend, but at the same time, we've seen similar things happen over the years with free agency and guys thinking about Dwayne Wade and LeBron and all these guys.
There's no league like the NBA when it comes to engineering your own future and controlling your fate and direction. I mean, this is what maybe Kevin Durant now looks at this and says, okay, I'm next. You know, I'm going to look at this as an opportunity. And maybe he wants to, if the Warriors win another NBA title, you could see him saying, I'm going to New York. I'm going to try to do it there.
Why not come to Chicago, kid?
I don't know that there's the same appeal, right? I mean, that would be great, but
be awesome.
That's been their angle the entire time. But I mean, if you're gonna make these moves, you're gonna try and clear for two max deals, right? That's what New York has essentially done here. They've punted everything to clear space. They have what, 71
million? The Bulls won't have two max spots.
I don't think so. I mean, not without. No, I don't think they would. And that's where, you know, you said you make a trade demand, and like, what, in a span of an hour and a half, Kristaps is gone from New York and then to Dallas.
This had to have been in the works for a while.
Sure.
I imagine it was. He's been dissatisfied for a bit, but if you're Anthony
Frank
Davis
Isola
sitting
says,
around
if you
going,
think Kristaps wanted to be traded, you're wrong. That's what he's saying.
Well, he has made some noise in the past. I mean, every NBA superstar, it seems like, unless you're on the Warriors or your LeBron James wants to be dealt to. You're trying to, you know, dictate the course of your of your next
another season. Player who might be wanting to chart his own course and maybe to our fine city is Lonzo Ball. Reportedly, with the Anthony Davis talks possibly escalating in advance of the February 7th deadline, Lonzo Ball reportedly said, Chicago or New York, that's where I want to play. I don't want any part of, and I hear he's a good kid, but him, his dad, his awful-looking jump shot, his 42% from the free throw line, no thank you.
Yeah, you know, just as we've been talking about, you think about the Jimmy Butler situation, right, in Minnesota, and how messy that got and awkward it got and really ruined the locker room there. They finally, you know, acquiesced to him, so to speak. And it's happening around the league where guys are saying, hey, I'm not happy here. Either you get rid of me and send me where I want to go or else I'm
going to pout. Hold on, Cap. You interviewed LeVar. You interviewed him.
I have a no LeVar Ball rule.
You interviewed LeVar Ball, though.
No.
You did, right?
I did.
You did. Why? Because you were intrigued by the whole
because he
bigger than
ratings.
Life thing. Yeah, you well, so, but now you've rejected that. Did it go bad or was
no?
It,
we had a fine interview.
So
we had
able
fun.
To step
we
back.
Had laughs. I don't think the Chicago Bulls need Reggie Rose times 10.
Yeah, it would be that. I think from a market standpoint, yeah, there'd be a lot of controversy. There'd be a lot of conversation, but it would be a terrible idea. It'd be terrible for the Bulls. They don't need that. Plus, he's not that
good.
Kind of player.
Think about where you're at, though, if you're the Bulls. You're left with the leftovers. You're in the conversation only because if Anthony Davis moves and
the
Lakers sell everything they can
Bulls
to the
stink.
Pelicans,
maybe we can trade him over there.
Maybe you get the scraps that fall off the table.
You're the connecting airport.
Reason,
you're Cincinnati.
The
right?
only reason Ball is involved in this at all and gets to decide
analogy.
Where he wants to go is because he's got his dad. It's not his ability. It's not his contract. It's not anything else. It's because he's created all that around him.
Where'd you get that analogy?
I don't know. I just came up with it. Connor, I'm inspired by Connor.
Connecting airport. That's pretty good.
There's
like
kinda,
a stopover in Charlotte.
Yeah, someone like that. I mean, that's what the Bulls have become. Sort of you're on the way to somewhere else.
A refueling station.
It's not a destination.
It's a refueling station.
It's a refueling station. You want to get there, you know, you want to get off the plane, kind of get settled a little bit, get something to eat, but then you're going somewhere else. You're always
Honey,
thinking about
the next flight's up. Let's get out of here. Would you want Lonzo Ball on the Bulls? Our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question, NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. That's where you can weigh in.
Attention, passengers. The playoffs have been canceled.
Yes, I am voting many times over. No.
That surprises me, though. I would think that you'd be all in for LeVar Ball.
Yeah, bring Mark Trestman back, too. It's great for ratings because there's a lot to talk about. But
I mean,
no, thank you.
It's not like Chris Dunn has displayed a whole lot in
but
the last
See, that's the thing, though.
His numbers are better than Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, who
Ball.
Would you take right now?
No, I understand. But
who would you take right now?
Remember, the front office has told you that these three guys, that Dunn and that Markkanen and LaVine, are your core building together. I got plenty of evidence that the win-loss record, the efficiency ratings, and the numbers they're individually putting up when they play
See,
together
See, for me, the only one of the three
good.
That I want to hang on to is Lauri Markkanen. Zach LaVine's efficiency numbers are awful. Chris Dunn's awful.
Dunn is a problem. LaVine, if he's around good players, I think would be a good asset. Markkanen, I'm with you. I think that he's a good player.
Much basketball
how does Lonzo Ball shoot 40% from the free throw line? I mean, how does he shoot 40%?
Because his elbow's out here.
But he misses
when he
six
shoots.
Out of That's, 10 free throws.
You ever see him shoot with a jump shot? It's brutal.
It is. It is.
Would you want this guy here?
I mean, the Bulls have too many complimentary type players, right? The best players are complimentary, and they – you've got to have at least two centerpiece type players to win.
Bobby Portis had a nice night. Bobby Portis had a good game last
yes.
night. He's a complimentary
right.
player.
Right.
First round draft pick.
I wouldn't keep him.
I know you said that, but you have no reason to get rid of him right
Hold
now.
Hold on a second. Bobby Portis and his agent have said he wants to be 14 at $16 million a year. For a complimentary player?
Who's
no
he
shot.
The big question is who is he complimenting? If he's complimenting Kevin Durant, well, that's a different story.
The question really, though, is what kind of faith is still exists within the core that you've talked about? Like the idea of the front office continuing to put faith behind the fact that this core can gel. Like I think we're at a point where the foundations have to crack some, where the preconceived notions of what you've got here on this team start to need to be reevaluated. Because as we talked about Markkanen and LaVine and Dunn, each one of them, like Fred said, they they all come with caveats. They all come with, well, if this, and if he had a better player here. You got to have that guy that defines those role players.
I laid out
rather
a plan
than the other
yesterday
way around.
Of how you rebuild the Bulls quickly.
I saw the plan quickly. Part two. There's a sequel.
That's it. Yeah. The plan part two. That's exactly right.
You know, I would, in these remaining months of the season, you'd like to see the Bulls make some determinations about their personnel. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure we're finding out anything.
You know,
I
don't disagree with that, Fred, and I think you make some good points.
Are they in a worse position than they were at the end of last season?
I think that they are, because at the end of last season, you didn't feel, I mean, I'm trying to be fair here, but you didn't feel as concerned about the coaching position as you do now.
He can't come back.
So I think that all this stuff about evaluating the personnel in the remainder of the season is valid, and I think wondering about your core is also valid. But I also think the big picture, if you're Jerry Reinsdorf and then Michael Reinsdorf, you got to be wondering about the people making the decisions about the core mm-hmm. and about the coach. And I do think that you wonder about a set of fresh eyes. I think that's totally fair. And I'm not even saying that the guys who are looking at it now wouldn't probably agree to some degree, to some point mm-hmm. that what's going on right now isn't working. It hasn't worked before. Previously.
They need a fresh set of eyes in there. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the Knicks decision today kind of informs where the Bulls might be at in the landscape of things. I mean, you know, like we've talked about, this doesn't happen other than for the Knicks to create space for two max deals. They've got to have some idea, some hope, some sort of inside something.
That we're getting Durant and Kawhi, Durant and Kyrie or somebody.
How can you do that, though?
I don't know how you have that. Of course it is. Of course it is. It absolutely is a huge gamble. That's what's left to them. That's what they've left themselves.
What did they really gamble?
Well, because they haven't accomplished much, I guess they haven't gambled a whole lot.
They're the worst team in the league. They got rid of a guy who doesn't want to be there.
And can't play right now.
And it's coming off an ACL.
What it tells me is that it reinforces this idea that in the NBA, it is a gamble, and maybe they're not gambling much, but you have to almost take a boldly creative approach to management. I think you have to look at the roster building now. They look at the way that these teams are being built. It's outside the box thinking that's being used right now to get ahead.
So give me the Bulls' boldly creative move. I laid mine out. I go get Chris Middleton to play the wing. I go get rid of Bobby Portis. I bring back Taj Gibson. I bring in J.J. Redick. I get some veteran leadership that can straighten out my young kids and get them some more accountability. I get a new coach in Monty Williams. I brought in a GM from Boston, Mike Zarin, their assistant GM. He's a Harvard-educated lawyer, U of Chicago undergrad. He's a salary cap guru, an analytical genius. It's a fresh set of eyes.
I don't know that the coach is going to make as much of an impact until you get the talent that you're comfortable with in terms of knowing who your three guys are.
See the guy coaching us now?
I do.
You don't have a top 10 player in that
But
mix.
You don't. Yeah, I mean, I think this is.
But I'm picking in the top five, and hopefully I get a top 10 player. Hopefully
on this
Zion
draft,
Williams.
You got Zion, and that's it. I mean, it's Zion.
RJ Barrett?
And then space.
You're not a big Barrett guy?
And then more space, and then a little bit more space, and then RJ Barrett, and then John
really?
Morant. Yeah. No, absolutely.
His game's pretty
I'm not saying he's a bad player. I'm saying the distance between him and Zion is that kind of big.
I think that your plan was creative, Cap. I mean, you put a lot of time into it, but I think that I don't know who that executive is. And I don't know who that person is necessarily. Monty Williams is an accomplished head coach. He might want to get back into being a head coach again. He certainly is his credibility. That's what this plan lacks in this right now, this franchise lacks, is they've lost credibility that they built up. Remember, they had it going into this year, I think, because they had traded Jimmy Butler. It was the right trade to make. They had decided to rebuild, and then Lauri Markkanen got injured. And the beginning of the season that began with playoff expectations, that changed quickly. And I think you can't blame injuries for everything, but that's certainly how this started to unravel.
But remember, the biggest piece in this is moving. The biggest piece in solidifying their decisions over the last, what do you want to call it, 18, 22 months, something like that, is trading Jimmy Butler and getting these pieces back. So that means that it took a guy so off his rocker like Jimmy Butler to set the Bulls front office opposite it as smart decision makers. Jimmy Butler's over here, crazy person who thinks he's an elite player in the NBA with thousands and thousands of minutes on his 30-year-old body. And then Bulls
so you're
front
saying
office
that
over
his
here.
Ego made them look good.
I'm saying that's what it took.
He was
on
him.
Other sides of the
he
decision.
He was such a problem that they made.
They got lucky.
Like, he made the decision pretty
they
easy.
They looked like
for
problem
him.
Solvers because he was such a big pain.
Yeah. But you mentioned at the beginning of the season the playoff hopeful atmosphere, but I didn't see the sense of urgency from the players. that they were expected to win now. It's always, well, we're getting better. It's a process, and it's going to take time.
And then they got injuries.
And then they got injuries on top of it. So it seemed to me that the level of expectation wasn't high enough.
And now there's a culture of losing that's being created. It's got to be addressed. I mean, I spirit and energy is you can – it only takes you so far. I mean, at some point you need talent, you need to win, and you need to reestablish a culture.
By the way, the All-Star reserves were just announced. Derrick Rose did not make the All-Star reserves.
No kidding.
But are they going to retire his jersey?
Yeah, there's
wow. All that. How did Derrick Rose not make it? Wasn't he like third in the voting?
He was up there.
He's having a good season.
Excellent season.
But you're not. You want to bring Taj Gibson back. You want to bring, who else did you say? What other former Bull?
Westbrook, Klay Thompson, Lillard are your All-Star reserve guards.
Okay.
Well, that's hard to argue, really. But you're not bringing D. Rose back to Chicago?
Look, I think it'd be cool. It'd be novel. But you got rid of the sideshow. He has flourished in Minnesota. He needs to stay away from Chicago. Come visit.
Did you say that in the documentary?
I think I did say something like that.
I mean, bringing him back in would preclude any kind of max deal at this point, right?
Call a tease. They would wait till you see the documentary.
Looks good, by the way. If you bring him back, that means you're standing pat with the core and then adding a few supplemental pieces and not doing Durant or Clay.
You're not getting any guys.
Right. Okay. So you're out on that again. I mean, that's where the Bulls kind of are. They need to prepare themselves for the next Anthony Davis. They thought they were preparing themselves for Anthony Davis. Turns out,
I'm agreeing with you guys. That is the problem, though. We're talking about where Durant's going. Well, he's in New York is a possibility. You're talking about Anthony Davis. Well, he needs to go to L.A. What's wrong with Chicago? The franchise of Jordan, the 90s dynasty. What happened? Nobody comes to Chicago or mentions the Bulls when they're talking
about
this destination.
Because they're so broken right now. You've got to build this
thing
up. What
about the Knicks? The Knicks stink and have stunk for a long time.
They have.
Almost worse than the Bulls.
Ownership there is absolutely crazy. But I think that's why if you're sitting there in the position you're in, you're left with trading for this talent. You're left with taking a Paul George-sized Hail Mary and just hoping that he stays. I mean, that's the most reliable way.
Anthony Davis?
Yeah, if you're Anthony Davis. Or the next Anthony Davis, if you want to get into that.
You can't take the chance. What if they said to you right now, Connor, Anthony Davis said, I'll see in 18 months. I'm not committed anywhere, but you trade for me. Go ahead.
Right.
I can't promise you I'm staying. And then you got to give up Markin and Levine and you're one.
My other option is wasting Markin and Levine and not developing him.
Yes or no?
Yeah, I would.
You would?
Yeah, because your other option is wasting and continuing to waste the careers of role players.
Hold on a second.
Proven you've not
you're
going to
give away your best assets.
What record do they have of developing any star talent?
First of all, Lowry Market is 21 years old.
I'm completely aware, and it would suck to say goodbye to the Finnish wonder.
For a guy who in a year and a half is going to walk and you can't win with him.
You're not going to – how are you going to get that guy otherwise?
And he might only play 50 games a year.
But I'm not going to win with him.
Where is that guy coming from? To win a title, you need one, if not two, of those guys.
Well, that's not the one.
Zion Williamson might be that guy.
He might be. And if you have the number one pick, I think that changes the outcome a little bit. But you've got a 14% chance if you're a bottom three team getting the number one pick.
Yeah, I'm not –
Fred, who does Zion Williamson remind you of?
What,
did he have a comp back in the day? Is there a guy that he looks like and said, okay, that reminds me of an NBA guy from the 80s?
Yeah.
Let
me think.
I threw out Larry
Charles
Johnson.
Barkley.
Charles Barkley? That's not a bad one. Yeah. I think Larry Johnson is.
Yeah. Jim Boeheim said that Charles was just a fatter Zion Williamson.
You know, the thing, you know, after the Bulls dynasty in the 5-10 years maybe after that, I think a lot of superstars were reluctant to come here because of Jordan and the huge shadow that he cast, and you know, to be the follow-up to that. But enough time has passed now. That's long
gone. All right. Yeah. With all the moves in the NBA, we completely forgot about some football game being played in Atlanta. Patriots and Rams Sunday at Super Bowl 53. Sources telling me that none of those players want to be traded. Will Tom Brady rely on his running game to get ring number 6? Or is this the time that Jared Goff fulfills his promise of the former number 1 pick?
Ricky's boys don't quit, and neither does NBC Sports Chicago's coverage. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports and get your White Sox anytime, anywhere.
All right, that guy is still on the market, Bryce Harper. is still available, and he is now tonight, confirmed by Ken Rosenthal, in Vegas, meeting with the ownership and baseball front office types of the San Diego Padres, who all of a sudden have some cash they want to spend, and they are also going to meet with Manny Machado. What do you think, Connor McKnight?
I think you ought to be worried if you're any franchise. And the Padres, even though we forget, the Padres have probably the best farm system in baseball. They've got Fernando Tatis Jr. They've got a whole bunch. But Luis Urias is one heck of a second base prospect. Like, that system is primed and ready to go. Prospects are suspect, so I get that too. But every team in baseball has the ability and the cash to pay for either one of these guys. It's just a fact. They don't want to because they're going to be taxed on.
But there's only two teams that are known to be in on both guys. So how? Or now this is the third team, the Padres. So I don't disagree that they have the money, but how many are actually willing to spend the money?
I think there are more than just the three teams that were getting reported. I just think teams and front offices are better at playing poker now than they used to be.
But to be able to pull that off, you have to meet with the agent, and I don't think that they've ever met with the agent.
Do you?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, because if you're dealing with Scott Boras, you're not going to just come out of the blue and say, I'm going to negotiate a deal. I understand the revenue streams are plentiful for everybody, and they might be able to afford it. I just don't know that. I think that overstates how many teams actually want both guys.
I think the more suitors a free agent has, it's going to drive the market and create a greater sense of urgency. And say, okay, these guys want me. These guys want me. What do you got? The other thing, we don't know all the personal intangibles that are important to these free agents. So, obviously,
no idea. We have no idea about.
So a guy might say he's from Vegas, right? Mm-hmm. Harper. So he may want to be closer to the West Coast. A lot of things to be considered.
I don't know if I don't know what's important to these guys. Maybe it's just money, but I do wonder. If I were a White Sox fan, not that White Sox fans need a whole lot of reason to feel anxious about what's going on, but this is another one. I would be concerned.
Padres
about
also
this.
Are in on Manny Machado. They're setting up a meeting with him. Does that concern White Sox fans?
It should. Yeah, both do, because the Phillies are going to probably end up with one of them, right?
I would guess. You can't go into the offseason promising to spend stupid money and then spend kind of stupid
money. So if Harper goes to San Diego, you wonder about the Phillies getting Machado, and then you're out of luck if you're the Sox. I mean, that would be the biggest concern, because the better it goes for Harper and the Padres.
You know what surprised me? The White Sox have been so vocal. Like, from the days of stay out of White Sox business to they openly were lusting after him at the convention.
See,
that shocked me.
That's the real difference between the Phillies, the Padres, and the White Sox and the rest of the league that I still think would take Harper or Machado if the price were right, even with the luxury tax, is that the Padres and the Phillies and the White Sox have all put themselves in positions where it's okay, maybe even necessary, for them to out loud go, we want Manny Machado.
Why?
White Sox fans need to hear that.
Because they need it. It's exactly right.
After losing 100 games.
Because baseball needs to hear it.
But what happened to the White Sox, though? They lost 100 games, but everybody understood that because they're rebuilding. They've identified. They did have one of the best. But the thing is, they did have the best farm system in baseball until they started calling those guys up. Now they've lost 100 games. People understand it takes time. And I thought the fan base was supportive of this idea they're going to rebuild. It surprises me that they would build up these expectations, build up hopes, not knowing. Because now, even though you had a sneaky good offseason, if you don't get Manny Machado, it will feel like you had a disappointing offseason.
But Machado doesn't.
That's on them.
While that might be true, that doesn't mean that they don't want Manny Machado. I mean, clearly they do.
But usually if you want him, like you said, they'll whisper. Like,
right, but if you get Manny Machado, it doesn't set the rebuild back at all. It moves Tim Anderson off his spot, or you put him at third. Like, those guys still have to come in and play and pitch and produce. Like,
not the issue, though. It's not the issue of whether or not they want him or how he fits. It's like, they're embracing the idea that we're going all in to get him, because if they go all in and get him and he rejects them, that's harder to explain to fans who may never have known how much you wanted him in the first place.
They've been selling hope for 3 years. If they don't deliver Manny Machado, the groan out of our newsroom from Ryan McGuffey and Chuck Garfine, you'll be able to hear in Naperville.
Those two are going to be inconsolable. But I think White Sox fans overall will probably be mollified some because 3 weeks after the season starts, Eloy Jimenez will come up and he'll be there to watch play baseball. Like, there are still, like, the fallback options from not getting Manny Machado are there for the White Sox.
No, I don't disagree at all. I think that's a great point.
Same way they're there for the Padres.
That's why it's been surprising why that wasn't what was sold in this offseason. That wasn't the focus of the offseason. The focus of the offseason has been, we want Manny. We're all in on Manny. We're going to set you up for disappointment if we don't get Manny. Because you could be hopeful over Jimenez, over Kopech even coming back, over Dylan Cease, over a lot of things.
How would you have answered the question if they asked you, the GM, are you guys interested in Manny Machado?
Who's asking? Who am I asking?
The media. David Haugh from the Chicago Tribune and I'm,
and
the
I'm answering the question.
You're Rick Hahn.
We're going to monitor the free agent market, and we're going to see what it takes. And I mean, I would say something prepared that would make it sound like we're going to do our due diligence so it doesn't set people up to, like, we want him so bad. Love me, love me, love me back. You know, I think that's
overplayed a little.
Well, but that's a little unfair. Like,
it might be a little unfair.
It
might be a little unfair. I'm acknowledging that.
I get where you're coming from.
I'm more surprised remember, that they have been as this transparent.
We are in the super blood wolf moon offseason. It doesn't happen that two players this good at age 26, even if they're not as good as we dreamed them up to be 2 years ago.
I don't disagree
that
that's unfair. I guess I don't know that I totally feel that way, Connor, as much as I think that most people have been led down this road. And I think that's what I'm projecting, that people are going to be.
So when you proposed to Allison, did you go, hey, if you're interested, I'd like to marry you, but if not, I got other options.
You know, I did not put it in those terms, Cap. Maybe that was why it took me a couple times. I don't know.
You know, maybe the White Sox are doing this not only for their fans, but also for future free agents to say that, look, we're willing to go after the very best and spend whatever has to be spent. So they're messaging everybody.
Do you think it's unfair to paint this offseason as a referendum? Manny Machado saying yes or no is a referendum on their offseason.
Yeah, absolutely.
You think that's unfair?
Yeah, I think it is, because Manny Machado gets to make the decision based on one thing and one thing alone if he wants to.
Their fan base will be
devastated
cash. If he doesn't come.
And
you know the fan base better than we know the fan base.
Well, and
how disappointed are they going to be if they don't get Manny?
They'll be disappointed, but if Eloy Jimenez hits.
They will not be disappointed.
Crushed,
they will be crushed.
I don't know that I would be, because if the Phillies go out and spend the $250 million or $300 million on it, you go, okay, well, our chances are Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert and Dylan Cease.
Okay, that's
Lucas
a good
Giolito
point.
Finishing everything out.
How much did you lose by? You know, how much, maybe if you.
But you're never going to know that. That's an unknowable thing. We're never going to have that reported
when you
accurately.
Are
as good as you guys are.
FaceTiming Manny
it's
at your convention,
yeah.
They're going to be devastated.
You traded for his brother-in-law, okay? You signed his best friend.
But there's every. That's the beautiful part of where the Padres, the Sox, and the Phillies are at. There's every baseball reason to be out for those guys. And if you strike out on them, you're where you were to begin with. You needing all of the young players to come up and play well.
That's the case, because they can thump their chest if they get Machado, the White Sox, and if they don't win enough to get in the playoffs with him, then what do you say?
Connor's quite skilled at talking White Sox fans off the ledge. Can you tell? He has a lot of experience doing this.
Well, think about it this way, too. Like, this is the prime season to go after a free agent like this for the White Sox. Eloy Jimenez is going to come up. If you're next season, and I know Nolan Arenado's name is going to get brought up here.
It should, right?
What if he doesn't play well?
What
if Eloy doesn't play as well?
Rookie,
what if he's not
right off?
Sure. But then your sell job to Nolan Arenado or whatever free agent fill in the blank is coming in here isn't Aloy's going to be great. Look at where he is on this list. It's, well, sure, he hit 250 with 20 homers, but we think he's going to get
when
better.
When did the sell job in free agency stop being about money and only money?
Oh, it is. Oh, don't get a twist. Like, it is absolutely about money, and that's going to be something that they go to the table on and will eventually lead to the owners locking out the players
in 3 years. What happens to Chris Bryant as he watches – last year, everyone's like, yeah, those are older guys. Jake Arrieta's in his 30s. Yu Darvish is in his 30s. You wait till next year. These guys are going to get paid a ton. Oh, wait a minute. Tomorrow's February 1st.
Yeah.
These guys haven't come close to signing. So if Chris Bryant next year shows his shoulders 100% and he hits 35 bombs, drives in over 100, hits 275, and the Cubs have a great season. Whether they win it or not, they have a great year. Does he say to Theo, if Theo calls it, says, you know what? How about a 7-year deal for 210? Does he go, I'm in?
This is the column you're referencing, Cap. I just wrote this. I believe it. If you were Chris Bryant coming off in a season where injury reminded you just how fallible professional athletes really are, that if you have an opportunity to secure your future with that kind of a deal, knowing
with
what
a lockout what, or strike coming,
you become a free agent within a month of the CBA expiring. Oh, you're gone. Watching Bryce Harper. You're watching Manny Machado. Right. Guys who 3 years ago we thought
these weren't 30 somethings.
They're going to get blank checks. I think it would be the smart play to sit down with the Cubs and say, okay.
What makes sense?
I'm your franchise guy. I love it in Chicago. We're winning here. Make me a rich man. Let's make a deal.
First of all, you got to play like that, first of all. And I think he will. Like, a healthy Chris Bryant makes a difference. They win 96 instead of 95, and I don't think we're having the same type of conversation. So that's first and foremost. Secondly is, if he plays that well, he needs leadership from the Major League Baseball's Players Association. They need to step into this. The looming lockout is, it's tangible now. It's a thing. We're all talking about it. And what needs to happen from a player's perspective is that the union has to look around the landscape and say, Manny Machado didn't sign till when? And J.D. Martinez got what? And Jake Arrieta pitched on a three-year deal? That's ludicrous. The issue at hand here is that every front office knows what every player's worth. And if they're going to be like that, if they're going to play poker better, then you need to look at the luxury tax set at $206 million, and you need to say, that's great. It worked.
You're making a lot of sense, Connor.
We don't need it anymore.
But if you're a Cubs fan,
has to get
you do
rid
not
of
want Chris
tax.
Bryant to be a union symbol. You don't want it. You want him to be at third base forever.
That's not up to you. I mean, it's not up to you as a Cubs fan. Saying, he's going to have to be
Chris,
that.
But if you're Chris Bryant, do you want to be? Are you?
Yeah, I tell the union, too bad. I'm taking the $200 million. I'm newly married. I want to have a family.
They got to find $200 million to pay him. They got to get rid of $7 million just to pay Cole Hamels $20 million.
Blackhawks' long All-Star break is almost over. They begin their unofficial second half tomorrow night in Buffalo. But what happens in the near future? Will they deal a big name from their cup-winning past to continue retooling their roster and opening up cap space?
For Chicago Sports Talk with Sizzle, crank up the heat and turn on STL. Host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table every weeknight on the topics that are trending with our teams. Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado, weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.